General Manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, Ed Hervey, joins us. Ed, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Jay?
I am. I'm doing well, Ed. Football's a rather physical, intimidating game, and there's a lot of things said in the course of a game in the field that really have no bearing. And you don't like. I'm sure guys would say, "Hey, I'm going to get you, Hervey. I'm taking your head off if you come across the middle." You never actually took those words to heart, did you?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm not sure what the topic is, but what's said on the field usually stays on the field. And there's everyone says crazy things out there sometimes. You got some guys who don't say anything. But the worst thing that I've ever heard, I never took seriously, no.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Yeah, no, we were just – because Milan Lucic in the handshake after the game told Dale Weiss he was going to kill him next year when they played. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
What do you think of the handshake after a game?
Well, I mean, again, sportsmanship is what we're always teaching. We're playing a kid's game, and we were all taught that at a young age to shake hands and to, you know, just basically respect the game as we play it. And I guess as we get older and play the sport, as it becomes more of a business, you know, more guys and their personalities, they tend to let that make the determination whether they choose to shake the hands or not, whether it be frustration, whether they just don't like to interact with the opposing team. But as far as shaking hands after the game, I think, you know, when you go out there and you compete hard, ultimately the guy that you're competing against the next week could be on your football team, basketball team, or any other sport you're playing. So I tend to think that good sportsmanship should remain in the game.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have a problem with it, but I don't expect every player every single time to always be a perfect sport, right? Sometimes your emotions are going to get the best.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, every sport's different, because in football you'll have the two head coaches that go out and shake hands, and we've seen some cases in both leagues where the coaches have a little war of words. Players have, when they show respect for one another, they go and they shake hands. But some guys, when they have a disappointing loss, they run right into the locker room. I mean, I've been there as well, where you just kind of shake the hand of the guy you're competing against, and you run in. You don't want to sit and chat with anyone. But in hockey, I think it's a bit different, because after the series is over with, correct me if I'm wrong, I think both teams come to center ice where they all shake hands and acknowledge each other, and then they go their separate ways. If you're saying take that out of the game, I mean, I'm not sure if that's something that they've always done, if that's part of the ritual, or is that just something that's always been there.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't take it out, but I'm not stunned if one guy every 10 years maybe doesn't act the perfect way, is all I'm saying. I think it's a great tradition, but I also don't expect every guy to perfectly act the right way every time. You know, Lucic crossed the line, looked like a sore loser, move on.
Okay, well, here's a question for you. I mean, I know this is your interview, but would people frown upon Lucic if he just after the game just skated in and didn't even take part in the handshake?
Yeah, that, you know, a lot of people would frown upon that for sure. And because that, you're right, it happens in other sports, right? Hockey's unique,
right,
where it's set up and everybody has to shake hands. In football, not everybody has to. It's not like you have to go across the field and shake one player's hand on the other team. You know, same in baseball, same in basketball. Hockey's the only one that does it. But, yeah, a lot of hockey traditionalists would say if you were the one guy on your team who avoided the handshake, yeah, you'd look like a sore loser.
Yeah, okay. So I guess we have it. Because in football, the head, you know, I think when they, at the end of the game, they see the head coaches shake hands. And in most cases, you'll see the two quarterbacks shake hands. And everything else is just pretty much, it's just a lot of stuff going on. Guys are walking in. The losing team doesn't really necessarily feel obligated to hang out there. I couldn't imagine after the end of a Super Bowl, both teams lining up and, you know, shaking hands. Just, it wouldn't happen. It'd probably be more... do more harm than good in some cases.
Yeah. Well, and it's easy for the quarterbacks because they never actually play against each other. So,
yeah, exactly.
There's no animosity from the quarterback having the other quarterback try to take his head off for the previous 60 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Esks, joins us. What about what you just pulled off a trade with Toronto? When you're done the trade, you go, hey, thanks, good trade? How does that work?
I mean, the trade, the talk was pretty much the day before, the days leading into the trade. And every team is trying to figure out who they want and what they're, where they're, if their player's going to be there. Same with us. I mean, every team wants the player that they target. But in some cases, that doesn't come to fruition. And or in some cases, you feel like if a guy is going to be there in the later rounds and you can gain something from it, you know, you roll the dice. And, you know, in our case, first of all, I want to say the trade, I think, is good for both sides. I think it works out where both teams got what they wanted. And in our case, we got addressed an area of need and concern. But to move down and run the risk of not getting a guy or two, I think was, in our case, was it was worth the risk in order to continue the evolution of the offensive line. You know, I was very concerned in the offseason about that group. I think that group is going to improve. I think some of those guys who will be returning will be better players, you know, for what they went through last year. But the responsibility of myself and our staff was to do everything we could to add new, you know, experience to the offensive line, more depth on the offensive line. So when it came down to the trade and the discussion prior to making the move, you know, there were some other things that had to be discussed and some planning, but all in all, I believe that the decision was the right decision for our club, and we were still able to get a very good ball player with the number 6 pick. So I was quite pleased from our end with the deal.
Do you see Washington as your starting left tackle?
I mean, that's going to be where they go out there and compete. You know, every player is going to be evaluated. This isn't a camp where guys are being slotted in and saying that he's the starter here and he's the starter there. I think, you know, we want this to be a very competitive camp. And there will be some surprises, I would imagine, coming out of this camp. So, you know, any player that believes that he's a shoe-in to just make this team based on what they've done last year, those players could be someone that helps us get even better as we progress through the season and into training camp. So this camp, you know, I would deem it camp competition. And you know, everyone's going to be evaluated. The coaching staff, you know, they're not familiar with any of these guys, any of our players. And I think that that alone will allow the competition and the players to give their best. But to answer your question, right now we don't have any players slotted to start at any spot on that offensive line or any other position.
GM of the Edmonton Eskimos, Ed Herbie, joins us. Ed, you know, it's interesting. You say you don't have anybody locked in solid, but, you know, we could assume, I think, you know, O'Donnell's a guy who has really matured as an offensive lineman. He's come on into his own. Now, where he slots is maybe the question. Do you feel you have enough flexibility that there's potentially three guys who could move to certain different spots from right guard, left tackle, right tackle amongst your linemen?
Well, I think that's why we went to get as much depth as we can on the offensive front, was to give us that type of flexibility. And again, we do have some guys and that are have improved throughout the season and played much better toward the end of the season. And I would expect that they would build off that from throughout the offseason heading into training camp. It's going to be an interesting battle, interesting competition to see who ends up coming out of this as the starters. But, you know, O'Donnell, you know, has definitely shown that he's an improved player. He's been probably one of the more consistent ones on the offensive line. But as a whole, as a group, the group had some early troubles and couldn't quite find the consistency that we were looking for. So, you know, we're looking for the best 5 guys that can go out there and protect the quarterback, open up holes for the running game, and basically just control the line of scrimmage. And we'll see what kind of work our players put in to the offseason to allow us the opportunity to evaluate where they are and where they've improved.
You've had a chance to see a mini camp. I'm sure you've had a chance to sit down with your coaches and kind of get a sense of the play calling, the schemes that they're going to run. As a former player, what do you think about the new offense and the defense that the Eskimos are going to run this year?
Well, I think when we get into training camp, you have opportunity to see it, and you really won't have a firm understanding until the game is played. But I witnessed at the at minicamp, I was very impressed with the tempo, very impressed with the coaching staff as a whole and their teaching of their system, their articulation of things that they wanted. The quarterbacks seemed very comfortable with the offense. The receivers, there was guys, getting open. They looked crisp, even to have never played in our game. As the days progressed in the minicamp, defensively, there's going to be a bit more aggressive play. Coach Jones, really. Love that press man-to-man and, going getting after the quarterback. And guys are going to have to be in great shape to do all those things. So I think there's going to be a big difference from what this team looked like last year, the style of play, to where we evolved to this year. And, as we continue to improve this roster and put the players in that and find the players that make us what we want to be, I believe that all in all, the offense, the defense, the special teams will be, a stark contrast from what we, what our fans witnessed last season.
What do you want to be, Ed, as a team?
We want to be big, fast, physical, aggressive. We want to get after people. We don't want to, take the punch, so to speak. We want to be that team that gives it. But we want to be consistent in the process. We want to be efficient. You don't want to lead the league in penalties. You want to be the most well conditioned team. You want to give yourself a chance to win. And the teams that win are the ones that don't make mistakes. But all in all, we're looking for long term, consistency, from our players and our team, and we're building for success, something that we can have long term. We're not, fooling ourselves into believing that this is the Grey Cup year and this is the year where, we can jump up and down and celebrate, and we will never ever, make those predictions as far as football is concerned. Anyone with a brain knows you can't do those predictions. So, we're going to be, very consistent at what we're doing with the mindset and emphasis on improving. And I believe that with the players that we're bringing in and the staff that we have, that we'll be a much improved team with our goals set at being much better, more entertaining, but more consistent as we progress and improve.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Eskimos, joins us. And Rob Ralph, I know overseas your Canadian draft, Chris Jones was involved. How did it work at the draft this year? Was it a combination of the three of you? Is there a lot more of drafting guys that will fit the style of getting after and being big and physical? Or was it still, best player available? What was the philosophy at your draft this year?
No, the philosophy is the same. We want the athletes. You got to find players that can run and play at this level. You got to have five players that fit your mold. There's guys that are 5'6" that can run, but those guys get pushed around. We were trying to find the bigger, more physical athletes that we could find, and then we had areas that needed to be addressed. And when you look at our overall draft, we feel like we've addressed areas that we were, getting older in, or we wanted depth in, and we want to be better athletes at those positions. But as far as the process is concerned, the process, still remains the same. And it's a long process. It doesn't start, the week of the draft. It's a year-long process. It starts right after or during the East-West, and if it's continuous. But as we get closer to the draft in the weeks heading in, you know, we're all watching film and we're talking and you know, about where our areas are of concern, and then you start to rank them and put the players in place, and then you figure out which players you want, and depending on where you're at, you know, we were number three at the time, you figure, okay, is there three players worth taking at this spot, and you try to make that determination, and if you are to move, is there nine players in the draft that you would want to take if you, in the event that you had to move down to nine. So it's a continuous process, lots of questions that have to be answered, lots of calls that are made to players. You know, we're asking them, you know, about their health. We're asking them, you know, we're doing character checks. And then the more we start to identify with which players we feel most comfortable with taking with our selections, we tend to call the people that know them more so than what we would call the player. We don't spend a whole lot of time calling the player, asking a lot of questions. We do more background check to find out, you know, whether they've been healthy and how long they're healthy, if concussions. We do all that stuff in the background. But when we get to draft day, we have the script pretty much written, and our players are ranked where we see them drafted. And then when we get to our draft pick, or a couple picks before, you know, we have the conversation again about it, and make sure that there isn't anyone on the board that we would rather take over someone because someone was drafted a little earlier. And then once we're okay with that, we follow our script and take the player, and we go from there.
Ed, one final one for you. Are you getting updates on a regular basis? I know that you're not involved in the Board of Governors, but how is it working as we get closer to June 1st? Is it a daily update you get from who's ever on the Eskimo board, if it's Len Rhodes or whoever, as far as the ongoing negotiations?
You're talking about the CBA?
Yeah.
Generally we leave that to the commissioner, and he does all the talking as far as that's concerned. And I'm certain that in due time we'll all get an update. But I'm just focused on putting the team together, and you know, we're working as business as usual here. We're excited about the season, and we're trying to create excitement for our fans. Though I strongly believe that the CBA will take care of itself, and we have both sides that have the best interests of the league, and we look forward to seeing what the outcome comes from it.
Ed, always good to talk to you. Enjoy the final few weeks leading up to camp.
No problem. Thank you.